These are the days of Hajj that are passing by. And these are blessed days and nights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And it is the mercy and the fadl of Allah, Allah ta'ala's gift to us, the alhamdulillah. In these great nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, weak people, the opportunity that in these nights we can sit down and collectively gather together in an assembly. We do the dhikr of Allah, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great ni'mah of Allah, that on such nights with the dhikr of Allah, we decorate these nights. And this is the fadl and the karam, the mercy of Allah, that Allah ta'ala, He brings our hearts towards His deen, His dhikr, makes it easy for us to come towards Him, to remember Him. And Allah ta'ala saves us from so many multitudes of sins. Allah ta'ala takes us out of so many wrong actions, or away from many wrong actions. And in such great days and nights, Allah ta'ala gives us the chance to do His dhikr, to remember Him. This is not some small matter. The days of Hajj, the nights of Hajj, these are azeem, great, fantastic, glorious days and nights and moments that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, assigned to us. Because on such days and nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us, assigned to us a very big compulsory deed. And that ibadat, that act of worship is such, that compulsory deed is such that it comes once in the year, and some people it only comes to them once in their life, and some people don't get that chance in their life for the Hajj. This ibadat, this act of worship that Allah Ta'ala has given to us through the sadaqah of our Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this ibadat is in the form of one goes on a journey. One has to undertake hardships, the Hujjaj Ikram, our respected Hujjaj, the people who have gone on Hajj, they go on a journey, they travel. Just like a person to do Ibadah, he has to undertake a certain method and a style and technique. For this Ibadah, you have to travel, you have to go on a journey. You reach to Allah Ta'ala's home. And Allah Ta'ala's wisdom is great. It is big. Who can reach to Allah Ta'ala's hikmah, His wisdom, His understanding, how He's told us to go on this journey, why and how and when, and what hikmahs are hidden along that journey, and when we get to our destination, we cannot understand these points. But some people have understood Allah Ta'ala has given us the limits of our aqal and intellect, and the signs and the light that comes from the Quran and Hadith, and according to this, our pious predecessors and the scholars have given us explanations, and the elders, the pious predecessors, have said that this journey of the Hajji is a journey of the lover of his creator, because aql doesn't work in this journey. If you start to analyze this journey and the actions based on logic and trying to use logical interpretations and explanations for what we do, no. The biggest thing that we see, the sign that comes out, that extracts from of this, is that this is the order of Allah and we have to accept it. This is the pure summary. You know, when you squeeze out the summary of this Ibadah Hajj, it is just simply summarized as Allah Ta'ala's order and we have to implement it. Allah, as I said, the wisdom of Allah, the benefits for us are in this. And there's a beautiful point that at this moment comes into the mind and the heart of this humble servant, which is that through this blessed worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the sadqa of His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala has given a beautiful and unique and valuable and precious gift. Look, this earth that we are sitting on, this land that we live on, and this earth upon which the Hajj is carried out, this is not some small and you can say cheap piece of land, cheap in the sense of significance. From Adam alayhi salam to our holy prophet, our beloved, our master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this land around Makkah Sharif is full of the historical sites where the great prophets of Allah trod, and where they moved, and where they lived, and which Nabis came and descended to the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them to the earth. Allah ta'ala gave them life on that blessed piece of land, and what laws of Allah came from the heavens to that blessed piece of land, alhamdulillah. And every ummati tries to benefit from that. Every ummati knows about the history of this. And this land, Every ummati is aware of this piece of land around the house of Allah. Even if it's a little bit of knowledge, every one of us is aware. We have an introduction, we have an awareness, we have some knowledge. And this is what should happen, because this is fard, this ibadah, this worship of Hajj. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the fard worship of Hajj. Fard, compulsory. And a beautiful and unique sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is this action and this fard. And Allah Ta'ala's blessings and mercies are upon us at the same time, that when we start to look into this and analyze this, that all of the things that we see, the signs of Allah, sha'airullah, the signs of nature, the signs of history, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are present there. These are present there so they can assist us to fulfill this fard, to fulfill this compulsory action we have to do of the Hajj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we don't just see them, rather we touch them, rather we get close to them. Rather we don't just see them, but we even touch them and get close to them. We can see the sensation. And Allah ta'ala says, I've given beautiful signs there, the sha'airullah, the signs of Allah. You get so close to Allah when you see these places and the history, where this is that place, this is that place, this is what happened here, and this is what occurred here. When you see these with your own eyes, subhanAllah, then Allah Ta'ala says that you become purified when your eyes see the signs of Allah and the signs of history, that not just your eyes are seeing that, but your whole body is feeling the beauty of watching and seeing those things, and your body becomes pure. And when you return from Hajj, it is as if you have just been born from the womb of the mother, because you have returned in a pure state. So the signs of Allah, when we go to the house of Allah, when we go to Makkatul Mukarramah and around it, so the signs of Allah, anything that has a connection with Allah. Obviously this whole earth that we are sitting on and we live on in the world has an attachment to Allah, because Allah Ta'ala created it. But that piece of land, which is a special connection with Allah, that is then connected to Allah, obviously like Baytullah Sharif. This is a khas, special sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many kitabs. But if something physically attaches to Allah, who is connected to Allah, then becomes Kalam Allah. It isn't connected to Allah. So they are insan, they are men all over the world. But the men who had the connection with Allah, then they become Rasulullah, the prophets of Allah, the Nabis of Allah. And in the same way, the Ummah of the Nabis, the Ummahs, the nations, there are many. But those people who Allah says Wali, then they become the Walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. So there are many Ummatis around the world today. But those who are special and close to Allah, they are the Walis of Allah. And those physical sites that are close and connected to Allah, they become Sha'airullah. They become the signs of Allah. And they become so azim, so great, these sites, that Allah Ta'ala, amongst all of these Sha'air, Allah Ta'ala said that, look, that the protection of these I will do, Allah Ta'ala says. And further, Baytullah, Allah Ta'ala says, I will protect. And I've shown it, I've demonstrated this in history. And inshallah, until the day of judgment, Allah will continue to demonstrate the protection of Baytullah. Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala showed how He protected His Nabis and Prophets. And He will continue to demonstrate how the standard of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will continue to strengthen. Kalam Allah. Until today, we see the Quran and the scriptures before that. There's no, obviously, hint here that there is no attack on the Quran or Allah Ta'ala's kalam. Allah says, this is my sign, I've protected, I've showed it, and it will continue to be done until the day of judgment. Not one word or letter of the Quran will be changed ever until the day of judgment. It is protected. And the same way, the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, Allah Ta'ala said, I'm responsible for them, I've protected them. If you try to pain or hurt my friend, then I declare war on you, Allah Ta'ala says. Be prepared for war, Allah Ta'ala says. Be prepared for a battle, a struggle with Allah. Allah says, because these are my friends. So these are sha'air Allah. These are the signs of Allah. Because insan, he sees this. And a person, when he has a link with the signs of Allah, when he creates a link with the signs of Allah, then due to that ta'alluq, due to that link, the depth of that connection, then Allah Ta'ala starts to protect those sights as well, the physical sights. So may Allah Ta'ala give us this nisbah, give us the connection with everything, the people, the sites, the nabis, and everything I've just mentioned, the kitabs that have the connection with Allah, so He can also protect us ongoing. So the great ni'mah of Allah, the gift that Allah Ta'ala has given to the ummati, is that if this action was not fard, then we wouldn't have traveled. We wouldn't have gone to Allah Ta'ala's home. We wouldn't have not looked at the historical sites. We would not have done the ziyarah of Baytullah. We would not have done sa'i between Safa and Marwa. We would not have seen the maqams of Arafat. in the plains of Arafat. And how do we get to Jamarat to stone the shaitan? How would we have seen the pillars of shaitan? How would we have traveled to see Muzdalifah, Mina? And how would we have seen these historical places and learned the blessings and the virtues? Because these places with the dust and the earth and the stones and the rocks around them, these are all connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else in the world, even the most beautiful wonders of the world, cannot compare to these places in Makkah. And the house of Allah and the sites around it, because Allah Ta'ala has been merciful to us by saying that this Hajj is now fard for you, and He's had mercy on us that He has sent us there Himself to go and see this. So these signs of Allah are wonderful, fantastic places that they embed themselves, the history of them, the sight of them into your heart, into your iman. So let's take Zamzam. Zamzam, the well of Zamzam, and water comes out from there in Zamzam. And it is connected to Allah. And the foot of a Nabi was hit on that ground, and Allah Ta'ala allowed the well of Zamzam to gush forth, the spring of Zamzam from there. And it became such a well that if you see, it was a very small well. It still is a very small well. It didn't have a foundation as a storm or the crack of the earth on a big massive dand. Now it's hard to see the well, but we used to go in the earlier days and we could go and have a look down at the well and where it started. But because Zamzam had a link with Allah, the water has a link with Allah, so it becomes unique water. Special water. The water of the world, you have different places where water comes out. You have salty water. Some water is hard. Some is soft. Some has more chemicals. Some has a bit of a smell. After some time, germs and bacteria come into water. And sometimes when you travel and journey across the world, you have dangers of stomach trouble or bugs due to the water. And then sometimes you have mineral water. So there are many formulas and types of water around the world. But Zamzam water has a connection direct with Allah. And its form, its look, its taste is unique. Its style is unique. Its effect is unique. We see this, that the water of the world can make your stomach go wrong and upset, but the Zamzam water cures all of the diseases. A man who is healthy, he goes to a country, to a city, drinks the water, becomes ill. And here, alhamdulillah, if you are ill and go and drink Zamzam and you drink it to your stomach's fill, and you are cured of your illnesses. Further, I go further. This is the connection we have with the Sha'air Allah, the signs of Allah. Beautiful. So it has a link with Allah, it has a connection with Allah. And what is the feeling that comes when a person drinks water, Zamzam? And he says, Allah, please cure my teeth, and his teeth are cured. And then we go, we have different examples where somebody says, Allah, I'm drinking water, and he's got pain in his eye. And he says, Allah, please cure the pain of my eye, and his eye is cured. In other words, water, it become a doctor. The water has become the physician. It recognizes all of the illnesses in your body. I mean, even if you don't ask, it will cure you. If your stomach's upset, you say, Allah, I'm drinking Zamzam to my fill. Allah, I've drank the Zamzam. Allah, please cure my stomach pain, my stomach ache. And the stomach is cured. If someone's had a stroke, Allah, I've had a stroke, and they drink water. This happens. We see this every day. You hear about this. I went there. I was so weak. And I asked Allah, I did dua. The doctors here said, you can't go there. You can never travel. You're too sick. And I had stroke in my legs. And I heard from many people, and you will have met these people. And he said, no, I have to go there. I've made intention. I've got to go. Then I went on the journey, and I sat in the plane with difficulty. I couldn't get a ticket. Then I got the ticket. I found the seat. And I sat on there and I said, Allah, how will I get to your home? I'll have to do this and that. Aha, what grace. I swear by Allah, I've seen such a person, that individual, he so fast was doing tawaf around Kaaba, and he had a stroke from his legs before that. And this is the signs of Allah. That same land about which Allah Ta'ala said, if I did not make this ibadah fard, then how would we have reached there, traveled there, arrived there? No. We would say, Allah, it's not fard. If we don't come to the masjid and it's fard salah, congregation praying salah, then how would we have gone to Hajj if it wasn't fard? Allah has been so merciful to us. We go there, you do dua, you recite dua. If you're doing dua for ilm, Allah, elevate my ilm. You're drinking water, Zamzam, your knowledge is increasing. You're reading Quran, you drink Zamzam, say, Allah, increase, elevate my knowledge. And you say, Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka ilman nafi'an wa rizqan wasi'an wa shifa'an min kulli da'ah. That when you drink the Zamzam, ilman nafi'an, Allah, give me beneficial knowledge. Wa rizqan wasi'an, you get nothing to eat. MashaAllah, now the Arabs have great enjoyment. They have no pain, they have no hunger, they have no thirst. Doesn't matter how hungry you are. I've seen many people, pangs of hunger, empty stomachs, growling, thirsty, and they've traveled for days and nights and they reach there with ease. You drink water, you have the water of Zamzam of the Kaaba, and you have the dates of Medina, then you will never be hungry while you are at the house of Allah. Never. Rather, you'll be even more full of energy and power. and zest. This is the power in the dates and the zamzam. There are so many vitamins. All the vitamins come to your body. You have to eat vitamins and minerals, and you have multivitamin tablets, and here the vitamins and multivitamin. Take them to the side, disregard them, go to Allah's house, drink zamzam, your body will get all of the vitamins it needs. So these are the sha'air Allah, the signs of Allah, that in the journey of Hajj, Allah Ta'ala has been merciful on this ummah, that with our own eyes we've seen those places, we go to those places, we go to the house of Allah, we touch the water, we drink the water, we see the signs of Allah, the sites, the historical sites. Look at the glory of Allah. That such places are present, that the people of Iman, when they go to Allah Ta'ala's home, the Iman goes to the heights. And if a person goes there who's a rejecter, who doesn't believe in Allah, he'll say, "Yeah, I believe Allah is present." Every sign around Allah Ta'ala's home and within gives a sign that Allah Ta'ala exists. Allah Ta'ala is a haq. Tell me, water, a person, can your sense really allow you to understand the beauty of the water of Zamzam? Can you analyze and investigate? Let's take everything, but one thing, each, every point, the sign of Allah we could go through. From so long this water is being drunk, the water of Zamzam. So many billions of people have drank this water, and so many millions are drinking now. And the people who will go to Hajj, 3 to 4 million Hajjis, they will reach there. And they will be living there for some time. And everything is controlled at that time, but the water is not controlled. Allah says, drink as much as you want. And there are drums there, barrels there. People are drinking liters every day. The 3 million people. There's a pipe system, there's the transportation, the truck system. And the 3 or 4 million Hajjis every day, a few times in the day, are drinking. And they're not just drinking, they're taking the water with them back home to the corners of the globe. The water is reaching there. Has anyone ever given a complaint that the well of Zamzam is decreased in its level? There's no water left. Allahu Akbar. The amount of people has increased where the foot of that great Nabi alayhi salam struck, and that water has come from that day, and it continues to flow from that time, from that well. And what is this? This is the sign of Allah, the sha'air Allah, the sign of Allah Ta'ala's glory and power. So much barakat and blessings. Look, one well of Zamzam. We are talking about the well of Zamzam because it has a link with Allah, a connection with Allah, and great and pure and holy water. And we drink so many billions of liters a day, you could say, and it doesn't decrease. Why do you go far away? Keep drinking there. There are taps there. There are sources there. There's preparation for water nearby. You can get mineral water and other taps, but people don't go there. You could drink that. After half a Zamzam, you could drink, you can drink half a glass of Zamzam or a whole glass of Zamzam. Allah Ta'ala says, drink as much as you want. Cups and glasses and liters. The more you drink, your iman will be strengthened and increased. And if it doesn't go into your stomach, then that's a sign of hypocrisy. So the sign of iman is the amount of the water that a person can consume. Whereas if you drink other forms of water, mineral water, other tap waters, you can only drink half a cup or a full cup, and your stomach's full. But Zamzam, you can keep drinking. And you stop for a few seconds and drink again, you can drink again. You don't know where it's gone. You haven't even extracted it. So Allah Ta'ala has put such capacity in that water, such capacity and capability that millions of people are drinking. And illnesses of knowledge, deficiency of knowledge, you want to increase your rizq, you want to increase your rizq of your shop, your business, you're drinking the water and your rizq is increasing, alhamdulillah. So subhanallah, glory be to Allah. This is the sign of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has put this included in the Hajj, in the journey. In the same way, another beautiful sign, and there are signs of many things around the world, but these are the signs of Allah. On the night of Jummah, subhanallah, people, what do? They throw the stones. You pick up the stones and you throw the stones at the Jamarat. Here Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, where he was stopped by shaitan, or he tried to be affected by the shaitan. We read this in the Quran and we see these places with eyes. That here Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he came, he was walking, he was stopped here. Or in Arafat this happened. So these become our rukun, these become our pillars, these become our ibadat. That once in the life we try and it's a must to go there. Such for yuzat and blessings and virtues and rewards a person returns with when he comes from there. And there are many people there. This is the sign of Allah. This is the qudrat of Allah, the shan, the status, the glory of Allah. We see this when we go there. You go to Muzdalifah, it is dark. Yes, on the 8th of Dhul Hajj and the 9th of Dhul Hajj after Arafat, you go to Muzdalifah and then it's dark, it's evening. And what is Allah Ta'ala's order? When you come to Muzdalifah after Arafat, you have to collect the stones that the next morning you're going to throw against the shaitan. So you have to do this action as well. Now what's the situation here? That there's no mountain there. This is the plain of Muzdalifah. And there are 3-4 million believers. And every year, what do? We go and pick the stones from Muzdalifah. And every haji, until today I've not heard that people say, oh, I didn't find any stones, how will I throw the stones on shaitan? Rather, there are more stones than the people. And every year there are more stones. And we are told, advised that keep 3, 4, 5, 6 extra, so that if you lose count or you throw or lose some, then you'll have more. So the amount of stones you need to require, you get more stones than that. So tell me, if you multiply the number of stones by the haji, so one hajj visit in the year, what will be the quantity of the stones there that are being picked up, isn't it? So first, think, analyze, calculate in your minds that is this a treasure hove of stones that they don't finish? Or we can't see. We can't see in the night. It's dark. People after Maghrib start to pick up the stones. And in the night, you move your hand around on the floor. You rub it on the ground. And it's darkness. You're looking around. Where's the stone? Wherever you put your hand and you do Bismillah and the stones come. And that stone doesn't stay as a stone. What is it connected with? Wallah. So that becomes a sign of Allah. The stone. So as long as it was on the floor, it was dust or it was the stone on the earth. But as soon as the haji picks it up and he puts it in his bag or in his pocket, whatever, to use, to throw, then its condition changes. It becomes nur. The stone transforms. It connects to Allah. It is sha'irullah. And it has a great destiny. And it's cautious. The person, the haji, is cautious because he has to take that stone to when he goes to the jamarat in Mina. So then I have to ask you a question from the intellectual viewpoint. That tell me. Tell me, what is this situation? Where has this stone come from? And when will these stones run out? Why are they not finishing out? Why are they not running out? Why don't we run out of stones? And if they do run out, then we'd say to Allah, Allah. So if they don't run out and they're still there, then why don't we believe in Allah? Allah says, all of these signs call out that Allah Ta'ala exists. Allah Ta'ala's power exists. Allah Ta'ala is the one who replenishes. Allah Ta'ala is the one who provides. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. That's such a small example. Allah Ta'ala said, I'm creating here, multiplying here, giving to you here. And we have nisbat, connection with Allah. Then should we be at loss? Should we be at loss and in negativity? How can this be? Imagine. Think, what's the reason that our link, we don't have the link with Allah. Our link has not been made with Allah. Otherwise, Allah Ta'ala's glory is such that Allah Ta'ala says, my signs are in front of you. There's no mountain there. There's nothing there. There are no big rocks and boulders there. But the stones keep coming every year. So if we keep the connection with Allah, then will any of our requirements stop? Will our desires not be fulfilled? And our mistakes we don't accept. We complain to Allah. We criticize, astaghfirullah, to Allah. Allah, I don't get this. Allah, you don't give me this. Allah, I've got these problems. Allah, I've got these restrictions. And when I don't get what I want, I start haram, consuming haram, earning haram, doing haram actions. Do you understand? So what's this? Allahu Akbar. That's why Allah Ta'ala sends us on Hajj, that become insan and look from your own eyes. In the world, you don't have yaqeen on what I say. Even then, I tell you, do this and that. And even then, I still give it to you. Allah says, go on Hajj and look and see for yourself. Allah Ta'ala says, your iman and your standard and your trust in me should increase. And you should ask from me, despite the fact that you go and take and uphold the wrong paths. Allah Ta'ala says, ask from me. Allah Ta'ala strengthen your relationship with me. Allah Ta'ala gives the message. So the first thing is the person, he should still for a little few moments do maraqabah and think and contemplate and reflect that Allah, I'm here for a few days. Allah Ta'ala, you've given me such an opportunity. I'm doing ibadah and you're allowing me to do the ibadah with your blessings and your mercy. Allah Ta'ala, please open up everything and reveal everything to me. Make it beneficial for me. Allah Ta'ala gives us everything. So we take the stones. There's no dalil. No proof, where is it coming from? Who's creating this? Where's this stone come from? Allah Ta'ala says that look at this dalil, that the stones are coming every year, 3 to 4 million hajis, and so many stones they have, in the billions you could say, and so many people have come and gone and come and gone until Qiyamah, this will continue. This is a great dalil, a great proof. So we've picked up the stones, fine, we've done that. Now, the place where we have to throw the stones, the jamarat. Yeah, there are three jamarat. Yeah, three positions. And it's a small stone. And this is the small stone we're talking about. So you pick up the stone, you collect it, and now you go to Mina the next day, and you have to throw it at the shaitan. And until today, millions and billions have thrown. And every year, hajis throw the stones. And now there should be mountains of stones, shouldn't there? Every day, if you collect the stones, you go there, people throw the stones. So many people are throwing the stones. There should be mountains of stones. Allahu Akbar. What a hadith there is in this point. It's coming to my mind at this point in time. That the stones that are accepted, the angels pick them up and take them away. Subhanallah. Where do the stones go? Where do you think they go? The person who does not do yaqeen on this point says, how does this occur? Then, my friends, if you don't have yaqeen, you don't have certainty, then you tell me, where have the stones gone? Where have they gone? Is there some drum there? Is there some container there? Some storage there? Some machinery there? Then if you don't have yaqeen in this, Allah Ta'ala says that definitely then come to me to understand. I will give you the guidance of what has happened to the stones. Allah Ta'ala says that the stones, the throwing of the stones, when this action is accepted, then those angels are taken by the angels. And Allah Ta'ala says, I protect that stone, I look after them. So this is a great sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are throwing the stones, we are throwing the stones at the Jamarat and they're disappearing. Just like that. Yes, there are some stones that people come and men come and pick them up and take them away, but not this many stones that there's a conveyor line or a belt that's taking all of those millions and millions and hundreds of millions of stones away. Allahu Akbar. So we are throwing the stones at Jamarat, at the shaitan. And Allah Ta'ala said that He has called us ajiz and He's come to give us, and so we can get akal and understanding. Allah Ta'ala said, so you can straighten your understanding. And we're living this life. Allah Ta'ala said that a person who's a believer, he should have akal and learn and take learning from these actions that he's doing on Hajj and correct his lives before their lives before they die. So we pick up the stones. It's a small stone. And we are throwing it at shaitan. A big philosophy is behind this. A big philosophy behind the throwing of the stones at shaitan at Jamarat. Allah Ta'ala has given us a message that this stone that you are throwing at the shaitan, why are you doing this? Are you a friend? Why do you throw stones at? Why would you throw a stone at somebody? Because of enmity or because of being against somebody. So Allah says, who is your enemy? Shaitan. And what are you throwing at shaitan? The stones. And this stone comes from the rock. It is solid. And the shaitan, is he dying? Because Allah Ta'ala said, yes, he is. Because you are throwing the stone and he dies. You are attacking him. So Allah Ta'ala said, there is a power, a capacity within the stone that you are throwing it at shaitan. Before that, Allah Ta'ala said, I've put something into that stone. When you pick up that stone and you throw that stone, before that we do the dhikr of Allah, don't we? Don't we say something? Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and we throw the stone. So in reality, Allah says inside that stone was nothing. It's a rock. But when you do the dhikr of Allah, along with that you throw that stone, it becomes like a storm, a typhoon upon the shaitan that he crumbles, he's destroyed. So do you understand what I'm saying? So this is the message that Allah has given to us now, that your job that I've told you, the learning you take from it is, take heed, who is your enemy? Shaitan. How? Because just like Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he was stopped at these places and he was tried to deviate Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. The same way today, O Muslim, every day, every moment in your deen, the shaitan will try to deviate you. Don't do this action, shaitan will say. Oh, stop this. Thousands of excuses will bring to you. But Allah Ta'ala's hukam, remember, is the same as the example of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Shaitan cannot affect you. Whatever Allah Ta'ala said to you, you must carry out. You have to pray salah. No excuse. No reason. You can stop your life, but not from your life stopping your body from your thinking excuses. No, that hukam never diminishes. What is that hukam? Because you disobey the hukam, the total punishment will come on the day of judgment. Total punishment. You cannot be saved. This is the message from that stone. Not that hukam, that order, you create an excuse not to fulfill that order of Allah and you think you're free and you'll be saved. No, I couldn't practice this. Oh, I was traveling. Oh, you know, this happened. Oh, people were looking. Oh, I couldn't practice this. Allah Ta'ala has sent orders to us. Two things. Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Both actions we have to do and will be asked about. Allah Ta'ala's orders, ahkams, are concealed and sealed. Not concealed, they are sealed in the Quran Hakim. And the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is within the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as long as we don't take the Quran into our lives and live our lives according to his deen and the ahkams and the orders Allah Ta'ala has given to us. And he said, do nakal of this. Do nakal, imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we make excuses, that is there. That's a fact. A person makes an excuse or deception or a lie and we think that's success, we think that's good, or we think that that's an amal or a deed, and we think we are peers and we think we are hafiz or an alim or a scholar or muftis or sheikhul hadith. Doesn't matter what we consider we are. Think what you want, Allah says, but the message is one. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if the big person comes with his intellect and knowledge, Allah says, I'll ask him two questions. Ati Allah wa ati Rasul. Allah says, there's no one who's big in front of me. No man, no alim, no mufti, no peer, no sheikh, no hazrat. No one is big in front of my deen. Doesn't matter, the people of the world give him titles. People say he's the best. People say he gives the best speeches. People say he gives the biggest lectures. If he calls himself a Sufi, an alim, a scholar, doesn't matter. He has to remember that person. That there will come a time that, oh, you learned person, all of your ilm and your practice and knowledge will be weighed on the scale of Ati Allah wa Ati Rasul. If your knowledge, if your worship, if your practice, if your taqwa, if your so-called fear of Allah, if you're calling yourself a Sunni and your dhikr and your adhkar and your recitation of Quran and recitation, everything you did in the world, doesn't matter which uruj and heights you attain, whatever progress you had in the world, brothers, what are we? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to cry, used to pick up the dust and the sand and rub it on his chest. Umar, how will you account for yourself in the Day of Judgment? Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, a great personality. Today's man says, what? I am great, I am big, I'm high. How will he be accounting for himself? Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to cry and took the leaf of the tree or the twig and said, if only I was this branch and I was consumed, or within this earth and I was the soil, so I didn't have to account for myself on the Day of Judgment. This will be the severe and critical time on the Day of Judgment, my brother. Will be our civilian. Only that person will succeed. Only that person will succeed who will be safe from the deception of the shaitan, the whispering of the shaitan. This is not an insignificant thing, a minor action, a minor matter. Brothers, we go on Hajj to Allah Ta'ala's house, Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, Mina. Again, is this a small action, a small matter, a minor matter? Allah says, who destroys your life in the world? Shaitan. He has given tricks to the biggest of learned people. I am learned, I'm a peer, I can pray at home. I don't have to go to the masjid. Oh, I do jamaat in my house. And I see the Kaaba in my house. I'm a very big alim. I don't need to follow the sunnah. It's not necessary. These are just little things. Sunnah is for the common man. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala's message is something, my friends. Allah says, tell me the shaitan, when you go to Jamarat, you're stoning shaitan. Shaitan is trying to deviate you. He deviates everyone. Allah says, I've given the basis of success. Quran wa sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. This is the basis of success. The measuring gauge. Everyone will be measured on this. Doesn't matter the greatest scholar down to the minor person. Whoever follows Quran and sunnah will be the muttaqi who fears Allah. And in front of me, Allah says, you'll have the highest status. The highest status. Allah says, the person in front of me, most respectful to me, closest to me, is the person who follows the Quran and the Sunnah. I was just coming, and two deaths were in front of me. I was eating, and two deaths I learnt about. I was eating before, earlier. Imagine, until now, the addiction and the drunkenness state of the world is affecting us. Who that person we call big, we think he's big. And the person who we think is low, is low. The person we give the title and the status to and the heights to, we think that's it. The person we call peer, he's the peer. The person we say he's alim, the greatest, he's the greatest. The person who the sheikh, sheikhul hadith, he's the greatest. The person we say he's this, he's high, he can do what he wants, that's it. He's the best. Allahu Akbar. Great is he who Allah Ta'ala says is great. Lofty is he who Allah Ta'ala's Quran says is great. Whose shahadat the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam bears witness to, that person is great. When you see him, sha'arullah. There are three qualities and attributes of the sha'arullah, the signs of Allah. I'll tell you this now. Hajj tells us this. What are the qualities and attributes of sha'arullah? Do I know? Now the phone is coming, someone's talking, a person met me, said a beautiful thing. Beautiful point. Sha'arullah, I'm talking to you about the signs of Allah, the things that are connected to Allah. A phone came, a call came, a friend, mashallah, and he's explaining. He said, he was a bit, you can say, distressed. That here, I was falling unconscious. I was about to pass away. It was a bad situation. So much rush. I can't get out of here in the Haji camp. People are falling unconscious and it was a bad situation. And his voice was trembling, like scared. Then he phoned again. He said, what do you ask? There are problems. I've got difficulties here. 8 hours, 12 hours. The bus is broken down. This has happened. So you will have gone on this journey, you will have experienced difficulties and hardships. Now the night time has come. Then somebody else phoned. He said he found a friend. Somebody phoned and discussed and said, where have you got to? Where have you reached? And he said something a little bit different. He said, we've reached here, man. Okay, we're in our hotel. And I just want to do Umrah. And that's it, little bit time left. So the next day he phones. I phoned him, the friend of mine said, I phoned him. And I said, what's your hal? Have you done your Umrah? And he said, yeah, I've done my Umrah. How are you? Everything? I'm okay. Fine. Then, fourth day, he phones him. Brother, my friend, how are you feeling? How's everything? Just like you asked someone, his answer came. Brother, my friend, by looking and seeing, I feel so much enjoyment. There's rush here. That's okay. It's nice. Alhamdulillah, my feeling is better. The condition is improved. Then the fifth day, the friend phones the other friend. And the reply comes, Subhanallah, I'm doing the dhikr of Allah, I'm reading Quran. And I just feel like staying in front of Allah's house all day long and night. I don't want to leave. And this is the effect, the change. First he's complaining, bus is broken down, too long a journey, too much hustle bustle. But when he comes back or she comes back, so much love and muhabbat and immersed that they will forget all of the difficulties and say, I want to go again, I want to go again. What do we call this? Sha'airullah. What are the qualities? sees of the signs of Allah, person who sees the signs of Allah, the house of Allah, the system of Hajj. Why is Allah Ta'ala giving this to us? So we can see those places with our eyes, see the Baytullah. We heard so much Allah about your home. We read about it in the books. We heard it from the ulama ikram, the scholars. It says, no, not listening. Here, come and see from your eyes and see my places. Aha. And then, let's go beyond all the sha'ar, the signs of Allah, to see them with your eyes. The same places that are connected and linked with Allah physically. When you see them physically with your eyes, then alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Who is it? Allah, sha'airullah. There's an attribute, a sift. Allah Ta'ala says, the sign of my qudrat, my nature, my power, is that when you see my signs physically in the world, you remember Allah. Baytullah, kalam Allah, Rasulullah, or the wali Allah. These four things. Each and every one of these four things is linked to Allah. When you see them, you will remember Allah. When you see Baytullah, what do you see? What do you remember? There was a disbeliever woman, I'm telling you a personal account here, and her son became a Muslim, and she was a disbeliever. I'm telling you a personal account here, personal experience. Her son told me this, that I went on, and I said, Ma, he said in Punjabi, Mom, I'm going on Hajj. Then he said, Mom, see on the TV, you can see the Hajj. She said, no, you left your deen, and you want to now spoil me? The mother was still a disbeliever. She said, I will hit you, I'm not with you. He said, Mom, please listen to me, the son is there on Hajj. And he found his mom and said, Mom, look, she put the TV on, and that time Hajj was being shown on the TV, and there was the Kaaba and people doing tawaf. And he said to his mother, Mother, did you see? When she saw Baytullah, she said, Ah, is this your Allah's house? Oh, it's bahut sona, very nice, very beautiful. Subhanallah. So soon as she saw this, her heart felt that Allah Ta'ala exists. Allah Ta'ala exists. So what is this? The status of the sha'air Allah. The person who sees the signs of Allah with the physical eyes, then what happens? Allah comes to the person's mind. He remembers Allah. When you see the kalam of Allah, the books of Allah, you remember Allah. When you see a person, the sahaba used to see the face, even people do ziyarah, they see the blessed face of Rasulullah SAW, such beautiful praise in Arab. He praised about the beauty. He said, your beauty is so great, O Rasul Arabi, just like you yourself will have told Allah that Allah make me like this. This is a poem, a couplet in Arab that I'm translating to you. He finished off the story. He said, the Prophet of Allah says, your beauty is such, O Prophet of Allah, that you must have said yourself, Allah, make me like this, the way I desire and prefer. Allahu Akbar. And his face must have been so beautiful, it's the sign of Allah. And the wali of Allah, the friends of Allah, they are also the signs of Allah. You look at them, you see them, and your heart becomes suddenly attached to Allah, connected to Allah. That's the Allah, you are mine, and I need to come after you now, Allah. And you give all of your efforts for Allah. So these are the signs of Allah, the sha'ar of Allah, the physical sights and signs of Allah. So as I was saying, that the stones that I was speaking to you about, Allah Ta'ala has given us big signs. That Allah Ta'ala said, who do we hit with the stones? We throw the stones against the shaitan. And Allah Ta'ala gives a message within the stones, that, oh you, my believer, my servant, who is stopping you from practicing deen? Shaitan. What do you have to do with shaitan? Fight him, oppose him. And how do you fight shaitan? With the stones. You're throwing the stones, and the stones hit the pillars, the shaitan. And what is within the stone? What is there? What did you recite before that? Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. You do dhikr of Allah. Until the day of judgment, it will continue. The Allah says, you want to reach near to me? If you want to become pious servant and die like that and reach to me on the day of resurrection, then when you go back from Hajj, you have to live the rest of your life and years like this. That when you do a good deed and you start to do it, don't do this action. And what do you have to do? And pick up the stone of the dhikr of Allah at that time. Just like you did at the Hajj, at the Jamarat. Don't listen to shaitan. Don't obey him. Wherever you are and whenever in your life, straightway do dhikr of Allah. As soon as you do the dhikr of Allah, shaitan will melt, run away. And alhamdulillah, I swear by Allah and I guarantee to you and say with conviction, those same people are today perfectly following the deen who did the dhikr of Allah and who do the dhikr of Allah. Shaitan can never attack them. They will do amal and continue to practice the deen. So my brothers, these are the sha'airullah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us on Hajj. This is not a small message, not a minor message, not an insignificant message. And to this humble servant came a few thoughts in my heart. So please attach yourself to the dhikr of Allah, your mind to the dhikr of Allah. And that is the successful life. And uruj, heights are those. And progress is that progress. And respect is that respect. The respect of the world, it's there. Everyone is the same. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi, what a beautiful statement he said. And there was a justice, he came, I was there sitting, and look at the great walis of Allah, the hikmah, how they speak. A justice came to one of the gatherings of my husband, my sheikh, and I was there, and a justice is a high status person in the world. And somebody said to him, the judge, that this is the wali of Allah, he sits there in this khanka in Gadai, and it's a village, and the gathering morning and evening takes place, assembly, and people sit there, do dhikr and listen to him. So the judge felt in his heart that he wanted to go also. And the personal experience, I've seen this. So he suddenly felt, I want to go there. Let me go and see who is this wali of Allah. What is the wali of Allah? Why are people saying Allah's wali, friend of Allah? Let me go and see who is this person. So the judge, he came with his servants. He came, he entered, and I was sitting there in that gathering. He came with three or four servants, his driver left and right next to him, and his deputies, and the judge sahab came. He looked left, right, no fan, no electricity, hot lanterns, oil lamps, straw mats on the floor, dust mats, and the moss used to run around the oil lamps. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are the signs of Allah. Aha, simple. The lights used to be lit. What lights? Allahu Akbar, the heart of my sheikh used to light. And who were the moths? Us, such incapable people used to sit there. So the light was there, he came there, the light of the dhikr of the wali of Allah, and his style was different, his appearance was different. He sat down, shook hands with Hazrat, and Hazrat said, his style was that he said, Hazrat said, yes, why have you come? Please explain. Because they didn't want to discuss and go into worldly discussion. He said, what is it? Please tell me, what is it you've come for? The person next to the judge said, this is Judge Sahib. This is the judge, and he's come to meet you. He's a judge. He said this 2-3 times to emphasize his high status, give him respect. Then Hazrat went quiet. Then Hazrat spoke to him, beautiful point, nasiha. Until today it's written, inscribed on Mahad. And Hazrat said, Judge Sahib, with such low volume, the same way Hazrat used to speak with a low volume, he used to reach to the hearts of the people. Don't be displeased with the words of the wali of Allah. They speak for Islah. Everyone has deficiencies. And the person who imitates, who follows and accepts, then Allah Ta'ala accepts that. A person who rejects the words of the wali of Allah, then Allah Ta'ala says, then I reject that person. Don't complain. Don't criticize. Was this sold to me? Was I told this? Wallah billah. When the wali of Allah speaks, he's not thinking or looking towards anyone. He's not thinking about anyone specific. This is from Allah, the words come, so that he can rectify and do the islah of the people. Otherwise, he's not come for fighting, quarreling, disputing. Astaghfirullah, he doesn't have time. He doesn't have the need to do this, to go into people's personal lives. He doesn't even know anyone's personal lives. He doesn't know who is there, what is there, what's the business, what's not the business. No. But when Allah Ta'ala inspires with ilham and allows the wali of Allah to speak, and it fits with the conditions of that gathering, then you should not rebuke, you should not criticize, you should accept, my friends. Because if you're going to criticize and complain against the wali of Allah's words, it's better you go away from the gathering and don't partake in it, rather than you criticize and rebuke, reject, and then you will fall into permanent loss. So the walis of Allah, they inspire through their words, and they tell the people through their explanation nasiha that this is the deficiency in you, these are the defects you have in you, and then you should accept, say, Allah, definitely I've got these problems, Allah, cure me. So don't go to the wali of Allah and explain and present yourself. Has it ever been that you go to the doctor and say, I am healthy, I am a physician, I eat 5 chapatis, 2 eggs, and I'm healthy, and I exercise, and I've got no diseases, and I sleep with ease in the night? Then the doctor will say, why have you come to me? What have you come to see me for? If you're so healthy, strong, powerful, why have you come to me to see me? If you're totally pain-free. So if the murid, the student, goes to the sheikh, sheikh, I'm fine spiritually, I'm perfect, I've got no deficiencies, I'm pure, I'm great, and I've got no problems, then the sheikh will say, why have you come to me? Here, this is the hospital for the sick people. Here, the sick come for their curing, and their ailments to disappear. So if we're all sitting here cured, then mashallah, then why do you need to come here to listen, to partake in the gathering? Anyway. So, as I was saying, it's come out of my mind, that account. Yes. So Hazrat said, Judge Sahib, nicely, softly, beautifully, Hazrat Sahib said to him, Rahmatullahi, that Judge Sahib, respected judge, MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala has given you respect, a good status and job and status in society and a maqam, and I feel that you should come here. Hazrat Sahib said this. Look at the love in this statement. And the judge came forward and he said, Hazrat, what does your heart feel? And Hazrat, my sheikh, said, I feel in my heart after seeing you. And the judge said, what is it, sir? And Hazrat said, my heart feels that on the day of judgment, that you stand like this, that it may not be that I, like you entered, that you were in front and your servants were behind. May not be that your servant, your worker, who's today behind you, may not be that on the day of judgment, that you are so far behind him and he's so far ahead of you, and you're lagging behind in your amal, your deeds. If you're good in the deeds and strong, then this respect you've got in the world, in the hereafter you'll get this the same. Read 5 times salah on time. His face, I saw it change. The sweat beads were dropping. He said, Subhanallah. Hazrat Sahib, I really liked what you said. Can I be bayah with you? Can I pledge allegiance in your hands? Oh, how his life changed. How it's flipped. My brothers, if your life becomes good, it will become aligned and straight. Time is short. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. We have so less time in this life to practice. Whatever we attain, we should practice upon it straight away. Do the dhikr of Allah. The dhikr of Allah is a great action. Allah Ta'ala's fadl is a great action. And you get this with the blessings and mercy of Allah, nothing else. If you get dhikr, you are doing dhikr, and you got the tawfiq of dhikr, then don't think it's your ibadah. Rather, think of this as the fadl of Allah, the blessings and mercies of Allah, and it's Allah Ta'ala's karam. Recite the Durood Sharif.